Thank you guys for being here today. Aren't you glad you listened to the right voice this morning? Kind of got a little bit of a cold, but I'm not catching a cold. I'm losing a cold. In the world, you'll have tribulation, right? But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we're overcomers because He's the overcomer in us. And by the grace of God, we will persevere. We'll prevail. We'll overcome. Hallelujah. Not trusting in self, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. You know, His mercies are new every morning. Did you know that? This morning, God has new mercies for us. Hallelujah. The devil wants to get you bogged down in your past, and God wants you to move forward, forgetting that which is behind. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy, and this day you gave us, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to be here today, God. Father, I just pray that you draw every one of us closer to you. Father, give us revelation, understanding of your heart, your will, your purpose for our lives, Father. We want to be about your business. But Father, we pray that you would unveil our eyes, help us to see clearly in the Spirit, Lord, what you are doing, that we might join you in your mission, Lord. And Father, change our hearts. Make our hearts like yours, Lord. God, if there's anything wicked in us, anything that's hindering us, God, we pray for deliverance and that you'd set us free from that, God, that we can run this race even with perseverance, Father. Even the good things, God, that can be stones, that can be weighing us down, Father, we just pray that you'd deliver us, God, from anything that is unnecessary in our lives, Father God, that we can run with perseverance this race before us, Lord, understanding here we have no continuing city. But, Lord, we're looking for one to come. And where dwells righteousness. Hallelujah. Revival, I think, should be our daily theme. We should stay awake, amen, and stay revived and not do the Indianapolis 500 and make our round, amen, through the week and then come back for a fill-up on Sunday morning. But God wants us to stay filled up, amen, and we need to be overflowing for Jesus because what people need is the overflow of Him and not us. Yeah. And if we're full of us, we can't be full of Him. So we want to be full of Him. Amen. So there's an overflow of Him and others are going to be touched by Him because He's the life-giving Spirit. He's the living Word. And that's what people need. And you know, God gives us the privilege and the opportunity to approach His throne of grace to pray. Amen. And because of what Jesus did, He opened the way into the holiest. Amen. He, through His broken body and shed blood, has opened the heavens. Amen. So we don't have to go to some geographic location to be under an open heaven. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because the open heaven is over us. Amen. Wherever we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the habitation of God in the Spirit. So God wants us to take advantage of His invitation to ask, to seek and to knock. God has treasure for us. He's a good father. Amen. He knows how to give good gifts and He wants to give good gifts to His children. But if we're not coming to Him and we're not asking, seeking and knocking, then we can remain in parched places, in desert places in our walk. Amen. So God wants us to be revived. He wants us to be refreshed. And we don't have to wait for the next service. I believe that when we come to church, we should already be alive. We should already be revived. Amen. So that when we come, we have something to offer. And not just to come to take, but to also to give. Amen. We need to receive, but we also need to give. So we do both of these things. If you see a gap or a space between what you know God expects of you and where you're at right now, that's not a bad thing. Amen. We need to first be aware that God has more. God wants to give more. Amen. God wants to fill up the empty places of our lives. He wants us to grow up into our calling. So we need to know and be aware of our deficiency. And the Bible says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, those who realize that they don't have everything in themselves, that their life is in Him. Grace that we live on is from Him, not the grace we give ourselves. The grace that justifies us, amen, is the grace that God gives, not the grace we would give ourselves and say, oh, it ain't that bad. If God says it's bad, it's bad, it's ugly, amen, it's detestable. But if we understand that God is the one who gives grace for every situation, then we come to Him, we ask more often. I don't know about you, but I need to ask the Lord all the time for help. Amen. Come on. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Amen. It just means that I'm depending on Him. And when I'm humbled and depending on Him, I have grace for my situation. Amen. And I can overcome. I can overcome myself. I can overcome my, you know, my temper or whatever it is. But if we allow ourselves to get weak, and we're not filling up, or we're expecting somebody else to do for us all the time, you're going to be emaciated spiritually, and you're going to be a target for the devil. You know, he's a roaring lion, isn't he? Looking for someone whom he may devour. So he's looking for that weak one, the straggler. He's looking for the one that's just kind of like off in the shadows there and kind of like just partially in sampling maybe Christianity, you know, or somebody that's just kind of backslidden. He looks for the person. He waits and he watches. If we're consistent and we're faithful and we're in prayer, amen, and we're walking with the Lord carefully, then he knows to leave us alone. He knows who can pick on, who he can't pick on. And if he found that you and I are a target for him to pick on, guess what he's going to do? He's going to pick on you. Uh-huh. And who are the targets? Well, the targets are the ones that let themselves go. How many know if you don't take care of your body can get sick? Amen. It can be vulnerable to disease, right? Or sickness. So we need to take care of our physical bodies. More importantly, we need to be taking care of our spirit. Our spirit life, amen. We need to really be stayed armored up, filled up with God every day so that we can deal with the situations that we face, because you never know what happens in a day. How many know that things can change in a day? You can be merrily on your way, everything going your way. Whistle while you work, and all of a sudden, you know, stuff happens, right? You know, the Lord wants us to ask Him. Ask Him for His presence. Ask Him for His provision. Ask Him for His grace. Plead His mercy in our lives. You know, sometimes we can become lazy and expect somebody else to do for us. But God wants us to learn how to come to Him as an individual and receive from Him what we have need of. Because, you know, as believers, we can become codependent. You know, a babe is different. A new believer in the Lord, you know, they're going to need the mentoring, amen, and the a little more the milk and the coddling, and you know, but there comes a time when, you know, you need to take the bottle out, amen. Like we said, once you have to part the mustache to take the bottle out, it's you're too old, right? So anyways, but God wants us to be revived in Him. Okay, now guys, ask yourself this question, and I want to ask this about us as a body, as a church. Is this church exactly where God wants us to be? And I'm not talking about geographic location. Are we where God wants us to be? Is this like the pinnacle of what God has for us? Okay, thank you. We need to first become aware of that, because otherwise what happens is we get into stagnation. We can get into predictability. We can get into apathy and even complacency, right? We can get into a place where we're just expecting the same old, if you will, every time. And if there's no anticipation, no expectation, then God's not going to move there, because God honors faith. Faith is believing that God has more, amen, if I'm willing to ask, seek, and knock. If I'm willing to go for it, amen. How many know that if you have treasure in a field, you're willing to sell everything to buy that field so you can have that treasure, amen? In other words, you have to count the cost. Am I willing to give up some temporary stuff for the eternal stuff, amen? Am I willing to give up my life here in this world for His eternal life, amen, and an abundant welcome into heaven someday? Are we living for Him, or are we just living for us? To satisfy us. And a lot of churches now are catering to what people want, not what God wants. And I refuse to bow down to that cow, amen? Because we want to honor the Lord in everything we do, understanding that each one of us someday is going to give an account to the Lord, amen, for what we have done in this body. So it is very important how we live our lives now, understanding that we only have a very short time and we will see the Lord. God wants us to be renewed. He wants us to be revived. In Zechariah chapter 10, I'm going to begin here this morning. What we need, guys, is more than just powerful church services. We need powerful Christians. We need to be powerful Christians. Amen. You can come into a powerful church meeting, be blessed in that. Amen. And yet you can walk out and be quickly drained. Amen. And taken advantage of by the enemy if you're not a powerful person individually. Because how many know that powerful Christians make up a powerful church? But sometimes people are just good at entering into the spoils that somebody else has accomplished. Are you hearing me? Sometimes it's like, well, I'll just enter into what they've been praying and fasting and believing God for, and I'll receive the benefits of that. But how many know that God is in the sacrifice? God is looking at the one who has a heart for him and is willing not to show, you know, even be waving a flag and saying, hey, look how spiritual I am. But somebody who has a heart like David, a heart after God's own heart, that's willing to come to him and cry out to him and pray on behalf of others, that God would revive others, that God would heal and restore and save others. Amen. Standing in the gap, interceding for somebody else. Come on, somebody. God is looking upon that one who has a heart like Jesus. How many know that Jesus prays for us? He's our great high priest. Amen. So we take our petitions to the Lord, who takes them to the Father. Amen. We come to the Father through the Son, and we give him the glory for the great things he's done. Zechariah 10:1, ask the Lord for rain in the spring, for he makes the storm clouds, and he will send showers of rain, so every field becomes a lush pasture. Now, interesting, right after he says that, verse 2, household gods give worthless advice. Fortune tellers predict only lies, and interpreters of dreams pronounce falsehoods that give no comfort. So my people are wandering like lost sheep. They are attacked because they have no shepherd. For Israel, without this rain, this spring and fall rain, there was no hope of harvest. Now, the spring rain was important because the dew in the rain in the spring was to prepare the soil and to germinate the seed. And so they had to be spot on. They had to, not because they felt like it, because out of a sense of importance and duty, amen, that they had to get out and they had to plow those fields and they had to prepare the seed, amen, and they had to sow the seed. And then they had to pray and ask God, amen, for the rains to come. So that seed would be germinated, amen? Because if the rains did not come, the seed would not be germinated, and there wouldn't be a sprout, amen? There wouldn't be any hope of a harvest. Yes. And so then there would be the time, the period between the spring rain and the fall rain, amen? What might be a very dry period, but they would then, when the rains finally came in the fall, that rain was to produce the fruit, amen? Is to bring fruitfulness to the land. All right. So everything was kind of going through a process. It might have been to many a slow process, but that process was pointing towards a time of fruitfulness. Amen. And there had to be faithfulness in the process. They couldn't just plant one seed and water it once and forget all about it. There had to be faithfulness. How many know a faithful farmer is a good farmer? A faithful is a farmer who does what he's supposed to do when he's supposed to do it. Because he knows if he doesn't do it, there ain't going to be no results, right? There ain't going to be no fruit. There ain't going to be no harvest. They got to get out there when it's the time of planting and they've got to plant. Amen? Well, I don't feel like it today. I'd rather watch TV. No, you got to get up and you got to get out there. Amen? And you got to sow and you've got to water and you got to prepare the soil. You got to do everything you need to do so that you're going to have a harvest. And God is saying to Israel, listen, you need to do something for me to move on your behalf. You need to ask. You need to ask. A lot of times, guys, we're not asking God for the things that he really wants to give us. Many times, we're just asking God for the things we want, the things we like, but not the things that he wants and he likes. Do we have a heart after God? Are we more interested in, are we more concerned about the things of God than we are about our own things? Do we just come to God for what he can give me? Or do I come to God out of love and out of appreciation for all he's done for me and offer my body back to him as a living sacrifice to honor him and to serve him the rest of my days? Yes. To be holy and acceptable. That's right, brother. You see, I'm not going to say much, but today we're getting these messages, guys, that are appealing to the flesh and making people comfortable in their sin, even because they're not being challenged, amen, to understand that you cannot continue to live in sin and expect the favor and the blessing, even the salvation of God. You must first come to a realization that you're lost, you're sinful, you're separated from God, and you have no hope. When you come to the place where you realize, in myself there's no good thing, in myself there's no way I can save me, I must rely upon my God. I need to call out to the Lord. I need to trust in Him for grace. I'm desperate for His presence. Because His presence is what makes me whole. His presence makes me complete. His presence satisfies me. His presence refreshes my soul, renews my mind. It's His presence that we need, guys. We don't need good church services. We need His presence. Amen. You can have all the bells and the whistles and the light shows and the music and all that stuff. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. You might as well shut down. Amen. Put Ichabod above the door. Spirit is left, right? Departed. God's people were instructed to ask for rain in the time of the spring rain. Now hear this. The Spirit of the Lord is going to speak to you, and He's going to call you to pray. You have to understand that it's not when you decide, but when God is moving on you, is when He's getting ready to release something to you. He said, pray for rain in the time of rain. When you need the rain, that's when you call on me for rain. In the time of the spring rain, you pray for that. Amen? So in other words, we also need to be asking God for rain. We need to be asking God for His provision, our daily bread. We need to be asking God for the filling of His Holy Spirit, amen, to empower us, to revive us, to restore us, so that we can be effective witnesses for Him, because what we're called to do is impossible apart from Him. So God's people were instructed to ask for this rain. Now, how many know that God will supply rain in response to the prayers of faith? Now, what happens is sometimes we've asked God for things and nothing seemed to happen. And so the devil comes along and says it's because God's not hearing you. And he tries to talk you out of your faith. How many know that faith is not a drive-through window situation? Well, I put the seed out, I come out the next day, there's no harvest. What's going on here, God? You know? Faith requires action and consistency. We need to be persistent and consistent in our walk. We need to stay plugged in every day. We need to be faithful in season what and out of season. Connected to the Lord, walking with the Lord, daily praying, daily seeking Him, daily asking Him for help, asking Him for grace, not relying on somebody else to do for you. You need to learn how to come to the source yourself. You can't be like the five foolish virgins that thought they're going to go borrow some oil from somebody else. When the bridegroom came, guess what? It was too late to go and get oil in your lamp. God's saying, I want you to have a relationship with me today. And I want you to make sure that you keep your eyes on me and deliver yourself from this sin-sick world. James 5:17, here it is. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So what's God's will? God's will, guys, is for us to pray. All right? A royal priesthood, you know, as a royal priest, we were called to pray and intercede and pray and ask God for His help. He said, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. So we're living in that time right now. Like Elijah, we need to earnestly pray for rain. And what happens is if we are consistent and faithful in asking, seeking, and knocking, that what happens is we actually, if you think about it in this way, you're creating a cloud in the spirit through the constancy of prayer and intercession. All right? Do you know that the high priest would offer incense and the incense altar of incense? Amen? And it was symbolic of what? The prayers of the saints. All right? He would pray on behalf of the people and offer incense. And the incense would fill, amen, the temple. There was a cloud created through the incense. And so as we pray, we create a cloud in the spirit realm. Amen? And if we consistently pray without ceasing, and we don't give up, in other words, we're faithful, amen, to continue to pray and to believe, then the time comes when that which you have sown in the Spirit, that which you have created through your prayers and your intercessions, the cloud of glory that's been created, amen, through your prayer and your intercession, especially when we're gathering together, come on somebody, as a people and praying and calling on God, we're creating a cloud of glory, amen, and once that thing becomes full, what happens? We have a cloud burst.
That's right. That's right.
And we have what we call revival. We come alive. Because God wants to pour out His Spirit, guys. But God's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for loyalty. His eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are what? Faithful or loyal to Him. God's looking for loyalty. God's looking for someone who will stand in the gap. Someone will say, Lord, here am I, use me. You see, somebody say, well, I came and I got blessed Sunday, praise God. Well, somebody is praying, amen, that you'd be blessed Sunday. All right? But so whoever it was that maybe in their closet, they weren't waving a flag, they weren't telling how spiritual they were to anybody, amen. They were just alone with God. With God's heart and saying, Lord, I know that you want to save. I know that you want to heal. You want to revive people. So, Lord, we're praying, amen, that you will pour out your Spirit, amen. And that when people come in, they will receive the rain of your Spirit. They'll receive the refreshing from heaven, amen. And they will be revived in their souls. And so those who have paid the price, amen, to create an atmosphere, hallelujah, that we can enjoy even here, they're the ones that are going to receive the blessing of God too. They're going to receive the commendation of the Lord. Why? Because they're not there to just make a scene before men. Amen. But they're there alone with God praying and believing that God's going to do something. Amen. On behalf of somebody else. How many know that God's kind of love is not always about God give me, God give me. It's God give them. God bless them. God keep them. God take care of them. And when we do that, and we consistently do this, like Elijah, he prayed 7 times, remember, and he sent out his servant each time. And, well, I don't see anything. Prays again. Sends him out again. I don't see anything. Prays again. 7 times. After the 7th time, he goes out. He said, well, I did see a small cloud about the size of a man's hand. He says, get ready. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me, somebody? And that's how it is in the Spirit. Guys, there's so much more that God wants to do here. God wants to revive us and wake us up to the degree that we become hungry and thirsty, that we want Him more than anything else. We're just hungry and thirsty for His presence. We love His presence. We're gluttons for His presence. And we come and say, yes, Lord, what have you got today? Hallelujah. See, we've got a little drive-through mentality here sometimes. I'll get a little snack. I'm eating in the snack aisle here, sampling a little here, splashing in the kiddie pool. God says, get out of the kiddie pool, get into the deep end. That's where it's happening. Amen. Get into the rhythm and the river of my presence. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit take you. Well, I'll try Jesus. How about letting Jesus have you? If we ask anything according to His will, 1 John 5:14, and we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. See, God has a season. God has a time for everything. And guys, sometimes that season will pass us by because we were not responsive to His voice in that season of time. Are you hearing me? If the farmer does not go out and sow and water, amen, in the time of sowing and watering, there won't be a harvest. We can't rely on somebody else to do this. Sometimes we're just thinking, well, we'll let them pray. At least they're praying. They can take care of that. We need everybody. God wants every one of his people, amen, to come together as often as we can. We should be seeking him and we should believe in him. Guys, we need people. There's broken bodies and sick people all over the place, amen. We need some miracles, amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. We thank God for the miracles we've seen already, but God has more, amen. If we're willing to seek him, if we're willing to wait on him and really seek God for the, not just a pass-through situation, not just a sample, amen, but an outpouring of his spirit to where you are so caught up in that realm of the Holy Spirit that all you want is more of him. You're hungry, you're thirsty, your appetite has been wet to such a degree that you just want more. You know, I have a confession to make. Sometimes I like Cheetos. Cheetos don't like me, but I like Cheetos, you know. And Cheetos can be really addictive. So we're going to have an altar call here in a few minutes, but... But you can snack on Cheetos, you know, and you have a false sense of satisfaction. You're like, yeah, that's pretty good. About a half hour later, you're like, man, I don't feel so good. That's the world, see? The world is like eating Cheetos. False sense of satisfaction is really not filling you up. But you can learn to develop an appetite for the heavenly things and for that which really satisfied, and that's God's presence. Hallelujah. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. So we create clouds through our praise. We create the cloud through our thanksgiving, our attitude of gratitude. We create that cloud through our intercessions, our prayers. Amen. Do you know it's a sweet fragrance before the Father? Amen. It's as an incense in heaven itself when God's people are praying. Hallelujah. And there are these bowls in heaven that I believe when they fill, that God just begins to tip them back, amen, and let them pour out back down upon the people that have waited on God, that have persevered, amen. And it didn't just sample God, but they're saying, Lord, I want to commit myself, my life, my future. I understand that I'm on this world is a sinking ship, amen. I got to get off that sinking ship, and I got to get in the ark, Christ Jesus, and I need to discover God's will, God's plan, God's purpose for my life, and I need to be serving, amen, my Lord, understanding that soon and very soon we're going to see the Lord, amen, and it's not going to be any time in that day to say, Lord, let me go back now and let me make some changes. It's too late. When we take our final breath, who we are in that moment is who we're going to be for eternity. If you're here today and you realize there's more that God wants to do in your life, then be cooperating with him in that. Not just have the attitude of, well, one of these days. One of these days. You got to develop some good habits, guys. The will of God isn't always easy. The will of God doesn't always feel good. But it produces good fruit in your life. And I found that good feelings follow faith. So when I do what maybe I don't feel like doing in my flesh, but God wants me to do this, when I obey him in that, then all of a sudden I find out that his spirit makes me glad, amen, and even my flesh rejoices. I'm not talking about the sin nature, I'm just talking about my body even will respond, amen, with the good feelings that come that follow faith. Too often, guys, we're just doing things emotionally. If I feel like it at the time, I go to church, I pray. You know, I give, whatever. I don't do it because I feel like I do it because it's my responsibility as a child of God to be faithful to him who saved me and called me. Amen? Amen. And if you do that, then God will reward you. God will bless you. And God will refresh those who refresh others. I found that to be true. He said, listen, this is Israel's problem. It's the same as the problem in America today. He said in verse 2, household gods give worthless advice. Fortune tellers predict only lies. Interpreters of dreams produce falsehoods that give no comfort. So my people are wandering like lost sheep. They are attacked because they have no shepherd. How many know that America needs an awakening? Guys, don't be duped just because the economy's doing well and things are looking hopeful maybe in the political arena for some. You know, guys, our life is not here in this world. Amen. We should be involved. We should do our part. Amen. To be faithful Amen. Citizens of this country. Don't get me wrong. But guys, our citizenship is in heaven. And he's saying here that, guys, your problem, Israel, is that you're going to other sources for comfort. You're going to other sources for information. You're listening to too many other voices speaking into you. You're not going to godly counsel, you're going to your friends. You're going to social media for answers. Now, sometimes God can use that, but how many know there's a lot of people on there who think they're experts that don't have a clue what they're talking about? Operating out of their grandmother's basement or out of the back of their van or something, you know. Bishop, apostle, prophet, whatever, so-and-so. Yeah. Let me tell you what God is saying. You know, if somebody's going to tell you what God is saying, I hope that you have a relationship with the Lord so you already know what God is saying. And if somebody's going to prophesy in your life, you're going to say, yeah, that bears witness with what the Lord has been saying to me. Because there's a lot of divination. There's a lot of liars out there, guys, that are looking to have a following after themselves and not after Christ. So they want to become your guru. Yeah. Many know we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. And God does put apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Amen. On the scene here. Amen. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So what was Israel doing? The same thing America is doing. Call the psychic hotline. Well, I went to church. Nothing happened. I went through the drive-thru. I didn't get an answer right away. Well, I got impatient, so I thought I'd just try another plan B here. Call Chloe. What was her name there? Yeah, Cleo, yeah. Now, the Hebrew word for idol here is teraphim, which means these are household idols, idols that people had in their own homes. Now, today, of course, we're way too sophisticated, all right, to talk to an idol, okay? Most of us wouldn't have a Buddha in our living room and talk to Buddha, all right? thank you. I think he's already tracking. He's preaching my message already, so. But instead, the television and the tablets speak delusions and false dreams and offer us an escape from reality. And even our children, come on, they can get their Saturday morning lessons in sorcery and witchcraft through the cartoons they watch and the books they read in the school. And even within some churches, guys, undercover witches, fortune tellers, and false dreamers are running loose. And what do? They use flattering speech. And they deceive the vulnerable and the impressionable with false hope. Be careful of people that are too nice. You know, in the Northwest, we're really nice. It's quiet in here. I'm not saying be mean. I'm just saying in the Northwest, we're real nice up here. People come up here and they say, man, I come from New England. So, you know, you come over here, it's like, man, people are nice compared to New England. It's like, well, what do you want, you know? But over here, people are generally pretty friendly and tolerant. Embracing diversity. We're friendly, folks. Until you disagree with me. Uh-oh. Now we have a disagreement. We can't just agree to disagree. Now we're enemies. How many know you're never going to agree totally 100% with anybody? It's just not the way it works, right? When we mature and we grow up, we realize that, you know, sometimes we just got to overlook some stuff. We got to find a common ground and get along. I get that. But, you guys, today we've got people that are so nice, okay, and they're so embracing that they have no standards, no morality. They don't have any place where they can call this is acceptable and this is not acceptable. What they're doing is they're pulling out all stops, all boundaries, and saying, whatever you want to do is fine. Whatever you believe to be true is your truth. Yes, idolatry. We bow down at the altar of self. And whatever my opinion is what is true. But how many know that God's truth stands firm? His word is forever settled in heaven. God doesn't change. And what people need is to hear the truth, the Word of God. And guys, sometimes Jesus wasn't nice. As a matter of fact, Jesus offended everybody. Come on, because He spoke the truth in love. The loving thing to do is to be truthful with someone, amen? With the right attitude towards them, with a loving attitude towards them, but to speak the truth in love. It's not loving, guys, to be dishonest intellectually with somebody even. To pretend that you're in agreement with them when inside you're not. Well, we have to be politically... No, we don't. We need to be biblically correct. We need to submit ourselves to God, amen, listen to His voice. I don't care what the government is saying. If it's not agreeing with the Word of God, it's illegal because our citizenship is in heaven, amen? And our God is our Father. We're in the government of God, amen? And we are to submit to the governing authorities as long as it does not contradict the Word of God. But political correctness is destroying our nation. And they're using, it's a form of bullying people into submission to accept something that maybe inside they're in a disagreement with. But I don't want to be causing any problems with anybody. I want to be nice. Are you hearing me, somebody? You know, Jesus wasn't being nice when He drove the money changers out of the temple. He gave them a good spanking. He says, my house, my Father's house will be what? Called the house of prayer. So guys, listen, the fruit of the Spirit, amen, is kindness. All right? God is kind. But God is also loving. And when you are loving towards somebody and you see somebody practicing destructive lifestyle or behaviors, the loving thing to do is to warn them. Now, you don't have to beat them over the head, amen, with a Bible or, you know, but we pray and we ask God to give us wisdom whether or not we should say anything or we should just pray for that person. But if we're going to speak to them, we need to speak to them, amen, with the right attitude. Understanding that if it wasn't for God's mercy in my own life, I wouldn't know what I know today. It wasn't that I just kind of was born this way. I was born again this way. And whatever I know, it's because God has allowed me to see it. And so I need to understand that. There's somebody else, amen, may be where I used to be, in the same folly, in the same funk, the same mess. Amen. And I want to see them come out of that. But if I don't speak the truth to them, how are they ever going to know? You see, the entrance of God's words brings light. Amen. It's through the law that people become aware of their sinfulness. You need the law, first of all, I mean, to bring attention to the fact that you're sinners and you're separated from God so that you will run to Jesus Christ for mercy and find His grace. So in Jeremiah's day, there's nothing new under the sun, by the way, right? In Jeremiah 23:21, he says, listen, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel... Everybody say, if. And had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from what? Their evil way. Now, is the God of the Old Testament the same God of the New Testament? Let's make sure we get this understanding correct, okay? It's like all of a sudden God needs to just change into some other God, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, 2 Peter 3:9 says this. Second part of the verse, God is not willing that what? Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is God doing? God right now, through the Holy Spirit and through His messengers, is calling all men everywhere to repent. Put their faith and their trust in Jesus, amen? So that what? So that His refreshing can come to them. God wants to refresh and revive and restore and heal and make new. Okay? But in order for a person to receive what God wants to give them, they have to repent. They have to get into position to receive what God has for them. They have to change their ways, their attitudes, and they need to repent and call on the Lord and ask Him for forgiveness. Get in position first. That's why in Acts 3:19 it says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that," what? "Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Now the word refreshing means a recovery of breath. So if you were flatlined, amen, and they got the paddles out, amen, and they gave you a good jolt, amen, you might be able to recover your breath. You know, I know they don't do that anymore, but they used to do this thing called mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Amen? And guys, sometimes we just need that. We need God to breathe back into us again, amen, and to revive us again. You know, I want to see every one of us, including myself, healthy in the Lord, vibrant in the Lord, revived, amen, walking in the power and the authority God has given you as a child of His, representing Him correctly in this world. Amen. And I trust that all of us feel the same way. We want to see the same thing. But guys, it's not going to happen if you're not going to pray. It's not going to happen if you're not going to stand in the gap. I'm not talking about showing up once in a while in a meeting and praying with somebody for a few minutes. I'm talking about adopting a prayer life where you spend time with God and you intercede on behalf of your brothers and your sisters. Amen. Each day, if we would do that, if we would all start to pray, amen, consistently every day for each other, what you're going to do is you're going to create that cloud of glory. Amen. Again, and to the point where one day God's going to just pour it out. You can remember a church that we were part of before where we decided, you know what, more than anything else, we need revival. We need a move of God. We don't just need goosebumps on Sunday morning. We need a move of God, amen, that's going to bring transformation, healing, deliverance, amen. Hallelujah. Breaking the yoke, the chain of the enemy off of people, amen. Setting captives free, hallelujah. So we decided we're going to start praying. We start praying and praying and praying and praying. And we prayed for some period of time. I don't remember how many months we did. But all of a sudden there was a suddenly. All of a sudden there was a cloudburst. All of a sudden, right? The wind from heaven, the breath of God, the rain began to fall. And guys, I don't ever want us to get into complacency, into apathy, and to lose sight of what God is inviting us into, to partake in, to be a part of. So exciting when God is moving and we're in it and people are getting saved. People are happy. People are reaching out to others because the Jesus heart in them is burning, amen, to see others come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, amen. People are getting healed in their bodies. People are getting healed in their minds. Demons are fleeing, amen, getting out of the dodge because of the presence of God. It's toxic to them. They can't deal with it. Guys, our church meetings should be so red hot that anybody that comes in here with demons is not going to be comfortable, amen? And we've seen a lot of people get up and walk out of here, and we know why, because the demons in them said, "We got to get out of here." We need to be people of praise, amen? When you praise the Lord, you create that atmosphere, amen, that is toxic to the devil. The devil hates praise. That's why we need to praise Him more. Well, I don't believe in being verbal about my praise. Oh, come on. What do you think praise is? It's not just a thought, guys. We need to back up our thoughts with our actions. And our actions say, "I'm going to give God praise." When your favorite team is winning, once again, what do? "Oh, that was great. Wonderful. That was great. Yes. What do? You say, "Yeah." You can get your shout on, right, when your team is winning. How much more should we give the King of Glory, who's worthy of all praise, our best praise? How many think our best praise belongs to God? So if you can shout at a football game, how about shouting even louder at church? Or in Walmart, for that matter. Yeah, we've got clean up on aisle two. Send the men in white, yeah. We need to be contagious Christians. We need to be so full of Jesus that people say, now that's a real Jesus person there. Amen. Not because they're going around like they've been sucking lemons and but because they're just full of joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And people see there's something real going on there. And when you're at work, you know, you hit your thumb with a hammer or whatever, you don't cuss like the rest of them do. And so you say, praise the Lord. You know what you're full of is what's going to come out of your mouth, right? Well, you can learn to praise the Lord even in that, right? A lot of it is adopting an attitude and being continuing in that. Now, Jesus is at this time equipping people. And he's raising up a powerful army. And this army is going to destroy the works of Satan. Now, question for you. Are you willing to join the ranks of the redeemed? Are you willing to join his army and to partner with Jesus and to be about your Father's business and going about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, destroying the works of Satan in every place? How many here are willing to do that? How many know that you're not going to be able to do that without the refreshing of God, without the power of God, without the Holy Spirit? Amen. We need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we need to keep our lamps full, like the word came this morning. Absolutely in agreement with that. Guys, we shouldn't be crawling into church and saying, oh, God, I was able to get out of bed this morning. We should be so excited about Jesus that I can't wait to get back to church and be with God's people. Amen. Have you left your first love? Was there a time when that was so exciting to you to be together with God's people? Oh, I couldn't wait to read my Bible. I couldn't wait to get with Jesus. And I'm so thankful that I have a place, a refuge with him. I can go and be alone with God. I can pray to God. Amen. And know that God, my Father's with me. He hears me and he takes care of me. He comforts me. He gives me the strength that I need. Hallelujah. My whole life is wrapped around Jesus. He's the center of it all. Guys, that kind of Christianity is what God expects of us. Why? Because Jesus did the same thing. Everything he did, the words he spoke, the deeds he did, everything was in agreement with the Father. What he was hearing the Father speak, he was speaking. What he saw the Father do, he was doing. Amen. Jesus didn't come with his own agenda. Jesus didn't say, well, Father, let me go out and, you know, and buy a boat or and go fishing for a while or whatever. He just said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. So if you have a boat, I want you to sell it. No, I'm just kidding. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where are our priorities? What's first in our lives? Is Jesus really the center of my life? Or do I give Jesus my leftovers? Do I give him whatever's left over after I've done everything I want to do? And in fact, I don't even want to ask Jesus if this is okay because I'm afraid he'll say no. So I don't even pray. I don't even ask. Do you understand when you're full of him, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, he will work in you both to will and to do. You will have godly desires. You'll have passion. Hallelujah. Do you still have a passion for Jesus? Do you have a passion for prayer? Do you have a passion for the Word of God? Do you have a passion for worship and singing unto the Lord and being together with God's people? Are you passionate about the things that God is passionate about? You see, if you're alive, you're hungry. If you're healthy, you're hungry. If you're sick, you can lose your appetite. If you're feeding yourself with too much other stuff, non-essential, not unnecessary stuff, you can lose your appetite for that which really satisfies. And all of a sudden you realize, they say, hey, I don't need to go to church today. What's the big deal? They won't miss me. And I won't miss it. Guys, if we're just coming here to do a thing, then you might as well stay home. But if you're coming here because God wants you to be here and the Lord is with us, amen, and we want to know him, first and foremost, we want to know the Lord. In verse 3, God said in Zechariah 10, he said, my anger burns against you shepherds, and I will punish these leaders, for the Lord of heaven's armies has arrived to look after Judah, his flock. He will make them strong and glorious like proud war horses in battle. Now, the New King James says it this way, for the Lord of hosts will visit his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them as his royal horse in the battle. Now, listen, what God needs is war horses, not parade horses. God's looking for combat soldiers, not parade soldiers. It's the difference. A parade soldier can look pretty, but not know how to fight. But God's looking for somebody, amen, who spent some time in training and discipline, amen, in the Spirit, praying to the Lord, seeking the Lord's face, amen, in the Word of God, building up, feeding, learning how to use the weapons of their warfare effectively, which is the Word of God, amen, knowing how to speak that Word when you need it. So God wants somebody, amen, who's been through something that's been conditioned, amen, that can be effective in warfare. And that's why God is calling us to cooperate with Him and discipline ourselves and to pray, amen, and to be in church and to witness to people and do whatever He's calling us to do. Is it getting quiet in here again? Because without Him, we can do nothing. And without the refreshing from God, without the power of God, we can bear no fruit. We can get into a routine, into a rut of just doing some church thing. Many people are doing that this morning as I speak. Are you hearing me? They're just attending church somewhere, doing the church thing. You know, maybe making, hopefully scoring some points with the man upstairs. But how many know that's not what it's about? We're here because we're the body of Christ. We're here because the Lord told us to be here. We're here, the Lord said to gather. Amen? Gather in my name. And as often as you gather, I'm with you. Amen? I'm in your midst. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. Fellowship with one another. We'll want to be in fellowship with one another as we walk in the light. Amen? If you're in the shadows, you may not want to come into the light. But guys, don't let that devil lie to you and rob you anymore. Say, you know what? I'm coming into the light. I'm casting off the works of darkness. I'm going to get my heart right with God. And I'm going to position myself because I need God to fill me up with His power, His Holy Spirit, and raise me up. Amen. So I can be an effective witness for Him. God is looking for powerful Christians. Not just powerful church services, but powerful Christians. And if we are powerful Christians, we make up a powerful church service. Amen. Together. Jesus is transforming His people into war horses. What is a war horse? A war horse is mighty, and it tramples the enemy. From Him comes the cornerstone. That's the Messiah, Jesus Christ. From Him the tent peg. From Him the battle bow. From Him every ruler together. And they shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be put to shame. How are they mighty? Because the Lord is with them. And the Lord shall fight because the Lord is with them. In the New Living Translation, it says, they will be like mighty warriors in battle, trampling their enemies in the mud under their feet. Since the Lord is with them as they fight, they will overthrow even the horsemen of the enemy. Guys, there's no reason why you and I as God's people should be defeated. Right. Yes. Depressed. Unfulfilled. Joyless. There's no reason why we shouldn't be happy in the Lord. Amen? There's no reason why we shouldn't have joy. Because the Lord Himself is our joy. He is our exceeding great joy. Amen? He is the fountain of living waters. There's no reason why we should be dried up and dusty when we can come to the fountain of living waters and drink deeply from the wells of Yeshua, salvation. God is inviting us into His throne of grace. Guys, let's get over the drive-through mentality. Let's commit ourselves. Let's dedicate ourselves, amen, to pray. We need to pray for a mighty move of God, not only here, but in our nation. We need to be crying out to God like never before for America. America is sinking fast. Amen. And God will intervene if my people, the ones that are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves and pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Guys, it needs to begin with you and I. We need to do our part. Do you understand? The burden becomes heavier when only a few are doing that and everybody else is just riding along. We need to pull together as a body. We need to commit ourselves to support the work of God here, to support one another here, because we're doing this for Jesus, not for self. That's why we're here. This is God's business. This is not Pastor Keith's stuff. I'm just a steward. Amen? I'm representing him and his interests. And I'm going to tell you what he tells me to tell you because he loves you. He doesn't want the devil to rob from you anymore. God has so much more for us that we haven't even tapped into yet. And if we're willing to persevere and press in, amen, until, hallelujah, the breakthrough, until the cloud burst, until the refreshing comes, hallelujah. You know, it's God that's going to add to the church. It's God that's going to heal. It's God that's going to save. Amen. How many know programs can't save anybody? It's the Spirit of the Lord. We need him. If we don't have Jesus, we might as well shut the doors. And guys, we got to be careful because the devil would love to lull us to sleep. Guys, when the attendance, as a pastor, I'm looking at this all the time. When the attendance dwindles, it's not a good sign. When people are in life, they're going to want to be here. I'm not talking about somebody going on vacation. I get that. I'm talking about there should be a burning desire, a God desire in us, amen, to be with God's people, to fellowship, to be together, amen. If I'm healthy in the Lord, I will be hungry for the Lord. I want more, amen. Lord, give me more. Lord, fill me up. Lord, give me strength. I need your grace.